Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
There are all kinds of different sermons. There are some sermons we need that are to bring rebuke upon us and convince us of our sins so that we'll be brought to repentance. There are some sermons we need that would bring us instruction in doctrinal matters so that we may better understand the Word of God and know its meaning for us. There are some sermons we need to encourage us and help us along the way as we strive to live a Christian life. And this sermon this morning will fall more into the category of the latter. But beyond this, I hope that this sermon will be able to show us and help us to appreciate the beauty of the Word of God. And for the lesson today, I wish you would open your Bibles and turn to near the heart of the Bible. The lesson will be taken from the 23rd Psalm. Probably a worn-out page in most of your Bibles, and most of you probably know it by memory. We'll read the 23rd Psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In order to appreciate the 23rd Psalm, we need to understand its background. When Jacob carried his sons into Egypt to escape the famine, as God had already, through his providence, provided a way for them to be fed, Pharaoh asked Jacob's sons what their occupation was. And in Genesis 47, verse 3, they said, "Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." So they made reference to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the three patriarchs of Genesis, and that their occupation was a life as shepherds. And Jacob, when he was referring to God, in Genesis chapter 48, verse 5, called him the God which did feed me all my life long unto this day. And there's an important word there, the word feed. It's not just talking about providing a meal or providing something else. But in the Hebrew, this is a word that is used to describe the care that a shepherd gives his sheep. And so you could easily translate this passage as talking about the God which did shepherd me all my life long unto this day. Well, we read through the Bible and we see how that God led the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land of Canaan, and he began to rule them there through a system of judges. But the people were not content with the judges. They wanted to be like the nations round about them, and so they told Samuel, who was the last judge, to anoint them a king. Samuel went to God in prayer about it. And God told Samuel that they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me. And God allowed them to have a king. And they anointed King Saul. And as we read the early career of Saul, it sounds like this was going to be a very wonderful thing for Israel, but Saul was a big disappointment. One time Samuel was not there to offer the sacrifices, so Saul simply took it upon himself to offer the sacrifices, and you see, he added to the Word of God. And another time, God told Saul to go utterly destroy the Amalekites. And Saul went down there, but he didn't utterly destroy them. He brought back the king, and he brought back a lot of the cattle. And so we see Saul took away from God's commandments. And Saul was not the kind of leader that God wanted for his people. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 11, God speaks to Samuel, and he says, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried all night unto the Lord." And it says in the same chapter in verse 22, after Samuel had met with Saul, he said, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And in verse 27 we read, "And Samuel turned about to go away, and he laid hold on the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And from there Samuel went down to the tribe of Judah, to the city of Bethlehem, to the household of Jesse. And he was looking for the Lord's anointed. As he got there, he saw Jesse's oldest son walk up, and he saw that from the outward appearance, this was a wonderful specimen of a man. He thought, surely this is the one God will choose to be king. But God told Samuel not to look on the outward appearance, because the Lord looketh on the heart. And so he went down, starting with the eldest and going to the youngest of Jesse's children. And God did not choose any of them. And so Samuel asked Jesse, do you have any other sons? And Jesse said, yes, the youngest, in verse 11, 1 Samuel 16, verse 11, and he said, behold, he keepeth the sheep. And David was a shepherd boy. And I guess from what I've heard about the life of a shepherd, it'd be a very good life for a boy. He'd be outdoors with the sky and the grass and the streams. There'd also be some danger involved. He had to protect the sheep. One time David had to fight off a lion, and another time he fought off a bear. Well, we go back to the kingdom, and we see that Saul is increasing his forces. And among the people that he brings into his army are the elder brothers of David. So David went down one day to bring his elder brother some food. And I imagine anybody that's ever been in the service would appreciate some good home cooking. And so that's what David was bringing his brothers while they were in the army. And it was down there that David met and fought with the giant, Goliath. And so the people made David a hero in their land. He was a hero. And they began to say, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. Well, that made Saul jealous. And so David became a fugitive. As we read through the life of David, we find that his life was a life of conflict. When he was a young boy, he had to face a lion. When he overcame a lion, he met a bear. When he overcame the bear, he faced a giant. When he overcame the giant, he faced the king, King Saul. He overcame the king and he faced a nation, the Philistines, and even his own people for a time. When he overcame the nations, he faced his own sin with Beersheba. He overcame his sin and he had to face his son Absalom. He overcame Absalom, and in his older days, his most faithful companion that stood with him throughout his life, Joab, turned against him. The last words of David are words of revenge. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, talking to Solomon in reference to Joab, he says, his hoar head bring down to the grave with blood. And it's because of all the bloodshed that David had been involved in his life that he was not allowed to build the tabernacle. We can well imagine the problems of running a kingdom. A lot of us have a lot of problems simply managing our own households or our own business, much less to rebellious people like the children of Israel. I like to look at the pictures of the presidents when they take office and compare them with the pictures of our presidents as they leave office, and you see how much that over a short time of 4 or maybe 8 years, how many years it looks as though they have aged. And so here we find David in Jerusalem, in his palace, amidst all the problems and troubles that come with running a kingdom. And in all these difficulties, when we read the 23rd Psalm, I think we see David looking out of his palace window toward the green hills of Judea. And he remembers when he was a shepherd boy. And God, or the Holy Spirit, inspires him to write the 23rd Psalm. As we read the psalm, we can read it in different ways and get a little different message from it. First place, I want us to notice that it is a very personal psalm. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. While this is a very personal psalm, it is also a very humble psalm of dependence on God. Let's read it again. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow for me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." When we read the 23rd Psalm, we read 15 lofty themes. It begins, "The Lord." Well, what kind of Lord is your Lord, David? Is he a Lord like the Lord gods of the Egyptians who requires them to cast their children to the crocodiles and the Nile? Is he a God like Molech who requires you to bring your children to him for burnt sacrifice? Is he a God like Baal before whom the Canaanites tremble in fear? David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And it shows us here God's loving care. As we read in the New Testament, that God is love. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm of contentment. I shall not want. We read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul wrote, "I have learned whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content." And he also wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." How wonderful it'd be if we could learn the lesson that happiness lies not in abundance, but in contentment. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm of rest. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." In the Bible, our sins are depicted as a burden that we are bearing. And it teaches us how we may lay this burden on the back of Christ. And he bears our iniquity and bears our sins. But also the problems that we run into in everyday life, we can take it to the Lord in prayer. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm of peace. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." Every time I get a chance, I enjoy a fishing trip. And I don't always catch a lot of fish, but there's a lot more to fishing than just catching fish. One of the reasons I like to go fishing is I like to be out in the early mornings or in the late afternoons on the lake and look at the still waters and let them bring peace to my soul. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm of life. "He restoreth my soul." The word soul here in the Hebrew is a word that means life. And the meaning of this, "he restoreth my soul," I think can best be illustrated by looking at another passage of Scripture and another beautiful story we have in the Bible that's given to us in the book of Ruth. And I think we all know the story of Ruth. Well, there's another main character in the book of Ruth named Naomi. And it was Naomi who had the husband and the two sons who, to escape the famine, went down into the land of Moab. And while she was there, her sons married, but her husband died. And her two sons died. And so in sorrow, she returns to the land of Canaan, or to the Bethlehem. And with her comes her daughter-in-law, Ruth. And as Naomi nears Bethlehem, her old friends see her, and they say, "Is this not Naomi?" And Naomi says, "Call me not Naomi." That means pleasantness. "Call me Mara." That means bitterness. Because she was bitter over the things that had happened to her, and she felt she had nothing to live for. Well, as we read the story, we see that Ruth happened to glean in the fields of Boaz, and they fell in love with each other, and they married, and they had a little baby. And at the end of the book of Ruth, in Ruth chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, it says, "The women said unto the Lord, said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." Note it says, "He shall be to thee a restorer of thy life. Well, that's the same phrase we find in the 23rd Psalm where it says, He restoreth my soul. And the meaning of it is that Naomi now had something to live for. She had this little baby. And she was so proud of it and took such good care of it that when they named it, it says in verse 17, the women, her neighbors, gave it a name saying, There is a son born to Naomi rather than Ruth. She took it as her own. It gave her something to live for. And so also the Lord does to our lives. He restores our soul. He gives us a purpose and He gives us meaning in life. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm of leadership. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I enjoy reading the history of the church, and particularly I enjoy the part when we read about the life of David Lipscomb. David Lipscomb lived through some troubled times. He saw the church digressed under the escapades of Jesse P. Ferguson. He was a preacher of the gospel throughout the Civil War and saw the lands that he loved torn apart by strife and bloodshed. And it was after the Civil War he saw the church torn asunder by the introduction of the instrumental music into the worship. Yet you read the life of David Lipscomb and you see he stayed faithful to God through all of this. And you wonder, how was he able to do it? What were his thoughts? How was it that David Lipscomb was able to remain faithful to God when so many others were leaving him? And I think it's in his motto that he often used in the Gospel Advocate when he would say, anywhere that God through the truth may lead us. He was a follower of God. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm of death. Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death. We need to think about death. Death is real. And for all of us, no matter how young, death is very near. David was a young man when he said to his friend Jonathan in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 3, there is but a step between me and death. The Bible teaches us how to have the right attitude about death. There's a passage in the book of Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1, says the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. Well, how could that be? How could the day of one's death be better than the day of one's birth? Well, now, to a Christian, to a follower of God, the day of one's birth is a day of beginning. But the day of one's death is a day of accomplishment. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm of courage. I will fear no evil. When Joshua took command of the forces of Israel after Moses had died, and he was going to lead them in to conquer the promised land, it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for them an inheritance in the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Let's look in verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm of companionship, for thou art with me. I heard a story about a man that walked across his life, and his life is depicted as a walk down a sandy beach. And as he reaches near the end of his life, he turns around and sees the footprints he's left in the sand. And as he looks over those footprints, he sees two sets of footprints, and he realizes that one of those sets of footprints are his, and the other set of footprints are the Lord's. And then he looks more closely, and he sees that in the deepest, darkest times of his life, when the trial seemed to overwhelm him, he just saw one set of footprints. And he asked the Lord, why was it that when I needed you the most, when I was the most discouraged, when I did not know which way to turn, why was it then that you left me? And the Lord said, I did not leave thee. It was then that I carried thee. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. And it's good to know that we don't have to face life alone. And there's nothing that can happen in any day in our life that we, together with the Lord, cannot handle. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm of comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, the rod was an instrument of punishment. If the sheep were trying to go astray and were determined to go the wrong way, when the shepherd could take the rod and beat them so that they might learn the right way to go. And how many of us have not felt the rod of God strike our conscience when we've done that which we know was wrong? And knowing that our conscience will bother us ought to be a comfort to us to keep us in the right. But also there's the staff. And as the sheep were wandering down the path, perhaps it'd be because of ignorance, that they did not exactly know which way to go. They were willing to go the right way if they knew, and so he reaches out with his staff and gently prods them along the way. And so also God does to us. He says, "Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and ye shall find." And he will show us the way if we're willing to follow him. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm of providence. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." And the picture here is a picture of sheep grazing out in the field and off in the woods just out of reach are the wolves. But they don't dare attack the sheep because the shepherd's there to protect them. Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, when Abraham was carrying his son Isaac up on the mountain to sacrifice for his sin, Isaac said, "Father, what shall we use for a sacrifice?" And Abraham looked to Isaac and said, "God will provide." Of course, God did provide a substitute for the sacrifice and provided a ram. We read in Romans 8, verse 28, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm of favor. "Thou anointest my head with oil." This anointing would be a very refreshing thing. Christians ought to be living a happy life, a refreshed life. They have more reason to live than anyone else on earth. They ought to have a happy life. It says in Philippians 14, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm of abundance. "My cup runneth over." So many times we'll hold things back from the Lord, maybe when we're talking about our contribution or our time or our efforts or any other part of our lives. We'll hold them back, but the Lord promises us that if we will give them to Him, that we'll be restored in full. It says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." The 23rd Psalm is a psalm of blessings to follow. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And the 23rd Psalm is a psalm of immortality. "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As we read through the life of David and we find where he became a king, a prophet came to him one day, the prophet Nathan, and prophesied to David. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 7, beginning in verse 12, "And when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish his throne of the kingdom forever. I will be his father, he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chastise him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men, but my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." And of course, as we turn to the New Testament, we recognize this as a prophecy of Christ, who is called the Son of David. And so here we have David writing the psalm. And now I want us to compare the words of David with the words of the Son of David. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Son of David said, "I am the good shepherd." David said, "I shall not want." The Son of David said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." David said, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." The Son of David said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." David said, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." And the Son of David, in the midst of the stormy sea of Galilee, said, "Peace, be still." David said, "He restoreth my soul." The Son of David said, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man had 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and go into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray?" David said, "Yea, though I walk David said, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The son of David said, My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. David said, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the son of David said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? David said, I will fear no evil. The son of David said, Fear not, little flock. David said, For thou art with me. The son of David said, And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. David said, Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The son of David said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. David said, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. The son of David, when he sent his apostles out to preach, said, I send ye forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, fear them not. David said, Thou anointest my head with oil. The son of David said, Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. David said, My cup runneth over. The son of David said, These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. David said, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The son of David said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. David said, And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The son of David said, In my father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So from David we have the song, and in the son of David we have the shepherd. David was a king, but his crown is faded with his kingdom. David was a warrior, but his sword has rusted and turned to dust. But David was a poet, and his psalm lives on. And it shows us that the pen of inspiration is more glorious than the crown, and it's mightier than the sword. I want to close the lesson by telling you a little story that I've heard about the 23rd Psalm. It's about a little village, which there was a young man to grow up listening to the words of the preacher, and in his younger days he thought perhaps he might want to be a preacher. And he developed his speaking ability. And as he went out into the world, he saw he could make a lot of money with his ability to speak. And so he became a great orator and an actor. He was in much demand throughout all the villages and things to perform and act for them. Became very famous and had national recognition. One day this great orator was returning to his little town to put on a performance. And the whole county turned out. And they all showed up in the room that they had ready for him to perform. And as he performed and made his speeches and did his part, well, the audience was amazed at his great ability. And when he was through, he asked if there were any requests. And someone in the crowd hollered out, Do the 23rd Psalm. And so the great orator prepared himself and said, The Lord is my shepherd. And he went on through the 23rd Psalm and all the eloquent oratory that he had learned. And when he got through, this crowd stood to their feet and cheered and applauded. And then his eyes caught the eyes of the old preacher that had taught him when he was a boy. And he asked the old preacher if he'd come up and do the 23rd Psalm. So the preacher stood up and put on his glasses and opened his Bible and began to read, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when he was through, the audience was awed to silence. And a reporter that was there that went to cover the scene asked the great orator what made the difference in the reaction to the readings of the psalm. Say, with you, the people just stood up and shouted for joy. And with you, there were tears in their eyes. And with the preacher, there were tears in their eyes. And they were quiet. And the orator looked at the reporter and said, I knew the psalm. He knows the shepherd. And now today we've talked about the psalm. You know the psalm. But do you know the shepherd? It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, that Christ is the shepherd and bishop of our souls. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul, talking to the elders at Ephesus, says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." And so the flock is identified as the church. And in the reading before the lesson this morning, in John chapter 10, verse 16, we read that there is one fold and one shepherd. If you want to be in the fold and have the Lord for your shepherd, you've got to do it by being in the church. The only way to be in the church is through Christ. A little earlier in John chapter 10, Christ had said, "I am the door to the fold." So it's got to be through Christ that we enter into the church. That means through his commandments. That means through obedience to him. And the way that we obey Christ is by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. So the invitation to you is the invitation of a loving Savior pleading with his sheep to come into his fold. So won't you obey him?